Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're live tonight. Welcome to the Prophetic Place. This is the night that we pray and minister to every person that calls into the show. Sometimes it takes a couple hours, 2 or 3 hours, sometimes more, but we are here to do it with you. Want to pray for you, want to believe God with you for whatever you need, and hopefully you're doing okay tonight. And if not, let me know. We will pray for you and believe God with you to touch you and open you up to whatever God's doing, right? Yeah. All right. I want to share some things with you tonight that I think are kind of interesting. And we're going to go some places that God's been taking me. And things that I learned wrong, I'm getting them right little by little. And it takes a little time, but getting those things right, we're so thankful to God for Him teaching us right. Things that I learned from people that, you know, men of God that were good people, but had some wrong things, and I learned wrong things, and as I matured, I got into the Word and got to know the Holy Spirit and started, you know, looking to the Word above people. I still look to people, you know, but I put the Word and my relationship with the Holy Spirit first instead of a tradition, you know, and those kind of things, which is kind of hard to break sometimes. Sometimes that's pretty tough. So some of you may know what I'm talking about. Maybe you don't. Maybe you never had to experience that yet. But it is quite an ordeal, to say the least. Quite a deal. Quite an ordeal. And if you ever have to change something you believed for a long time, found that it wasn't exactly totally biblical, it's sometimes a little difficult. Truthfully, it's just sometimes it's a little rough. So I have one of those things tonight, and, you know, I used to follow Kenneth Copeland years ago, and I still love Kenneth Copeland, but I've learned from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God some things that he taught. Maybe he's changed now. I don't think he has, but it's very possible. So I want to give him credit for some of the good things he taught, but there's also a lot of negative things, especially the merchandising realm was one of the things that we got taught from all those people, right? We all did. Right. So, you know, we're learning from that. Some people still go for that, you know. It's just going to take a little time to, you know, get people to understand that what a sad thing that is when we don't trust God. The ministry itself doesn't trust God. How do you expect the people to trust God when the ministry doesn't trust God? It has to make its own way. For its own provision, and, you know, really sad. I'm not going to talk about that tonight, but, okay, one of the things that Kenneth Copeland taught me years ago was that God doesn't need the devil to use the devil to teach us things. The Holy Spirit, through the Word, teaches us. That's what he taught. And I thought, man, it really sounded good, you know, and it just really sounds holy. Really sounds right. And so I think that doctrine has kind of penetrated the body of Christ a little bit more than we think. I think he's penetrated the whole body of Christ a little bit more than we realize. He's made a lot of money on his books. He sold a lot of them. In other words, he sold a lot of his books. So that tells you that a lot of people have, those who read the books. I didn't much. I wasn't much of a, I'd buy books and read them. They did a great sales job on it. And then when I got it was like, I never could really get into it, so I don't know what that was. But anyway, not their fault, but it just wasn't, you know. A lot of people read them, and they got this inside them one way or the other. And so I want to talk a little bit about this, how Kenneth Copeland, you know, taught and others that God doesn't need the devil to use the devil to teach us anything, right? why would God use the devil, the dirty, nasty devil, to teach God's holy people, you know, the things of God? Well, I'm going to share that with you tonight. It's going to be really simple to understand, I think, the way I saw it. So maybe you'll see it like that. If not, pray about it. All right? All right. So he says, we don't need troubles. Like when you start telling somebody, one of the first words that Paul the Apostle got wasn't exactly an exciting word. The guy who prophesied to him told him that he would be used greatly by the Lord, but that he was going to suffer a lot. I mean, how would you look at one of those words? So if you're getting those kind of words, that means God's going to use you. That's what I'm saying to you. Get ready because God's going to use you. If all you get is lovey, puffy, little sweet little things all the time, you know, you never get any words of, you know, about your struggles, about your battles, about going through them, then that means you're afraid of them, and maybe you don't believe that you're supposed to go through them like Kenneth Copeland taught. And I think a lot of people taught this. What do we need the devil to teach us something? God's not going to use the devil. That's what he said. He said, the Holy Spirit teaches us the word of God, and that's the way God wants to do it. All right. So here is one scripture here. I'm going to go here just for a second. Acts 14, verse 21. And it says, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. That's what they taught. This is what they taught back then, back in the Bible days, when they wrote the Bible. I gotta rub it in a little bit. Through many tribulations, not a few, through many tribulations. It's not talking about the great tribulation. It's talking about troubles, pressures. And we're going to talk about those pressures, all the different kind of pressures that God uses to perfect us. And why does he have to use that stuff? The perfect way would be to teach us without that. And that's going to happen in heaven. You've heard about people have gone to heaven and, you know, they see people up there teaching people. Well, they're not teaching them. Satan's not anywhere up there. Why do we need the devil to be used down here? Why does God use the devil down here or troubles to teach us things? When in heaven, it's not going to be like that. Well, I'm going to explain that. It's really, really cool because I got it straight finally. Okay, so he says God doesn't use the devil. He doesn't use troubles. Use the Holy Spirit. That's the most perfect way. If you're really mature, if you're really right with God, then he's not going to have to use that. He just used the Holy Spirit. Sounds good. But let's see who some spiritual people are that had to go through some troubles that God put them through and perfected them. All right? Well, here's a scripture in the New Testament. The New Testament apostles who wrote the word, including Paul the Apostle, said, through many tribulations, we enter into the kingdom of God. So troubles. Tribulations is troubles. All right, let's just go ahead and do a little thing on tribulations. Let's just kind of do a quick thing on that. Look at that for a second. Where did it go? Come back here. Okay, I think this is going to be slow. Hook up and look up. Okay, we're going to wait. I'm not going to be able to do it right now for some reason. Let's go here. Think of the tribulation meaning to cause a cause of great trouble. See, tribulation is kind of a tribulation word. A cause of great trouble. I'm looking this up, Googling this, right? Of great trouble and suffering or suffering. State of great trouble or suffering. That's what tribulation means. So no matter if we Greek or Hebrew that, it's not going to change it. Tribulation means troubles. It does. It means a time of trouble. So, all right. So through many troubles. Through many, you know, like Paul the Apostle, his first prophetic word was, whoa, you're going to be used mightily by God, but you're going to suffer a lot. And boy, did that word ever come to pass. Yeah, it really was good. So, now I'm having trouble getting my thing to move. Come on, baby. Look for daddy. There we go. There we go. All right. So when they had preached the gospel, verse 21, this is Acts 14, verse 21. When they had preached the gospel, talking about the apostles, to that city, they made many disciples, and then they returned to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. We must. Well, that didn't sound like that's a trouble thing. Who causes trouble? The Holy Spirit? I don't think so. Well, he can stir it up. Okay, look at this. What about Paul's thorn in the flesh? No matter how you read this thing, no matter how you read it, Kenneth Copeland really turned this one around big time, and I believed it for a long time. He says, Paul the Apostle said, unless I should be, let's see, it's in right here in, come on, baby, what you mean? Don't miss anything like this. Where did you go? All right, it is messing with me. I thought I had to set. Whoa. There we go. Just have to poke around on it a little bit. All right. This is Paul the Apostle. He had prayed that the thorn be removed, right? Verse 9. This is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10. But he said to me, but God said to me, the Spirit of God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is perfect in weakness. My power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more greatly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. That is why, for the sake of Christ, I delight in my weaknesses and insults and hardships, in persecutions and difficulties. And when I am weak, then I am strong. So that's not the one I wanted exactly. But here, verse 7, it says, lest I should be exalted above measure, verse 7, an abundance of, by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, buffeting me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Well, I want you to see this for a second. Be exalted above measure. There's something here. I want you to look at this. This is really, really cool. Okay. He says that concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient. I just read that. Therefore, he takes pleasure in infirmities. Well, you know, today, I don't know. I don't know if I take pleasure in infirmity yet, but I'm, you know, it's just, I can't say that I quite do that, but the Bible says to do it. So I need to let God wash out of me all this nonsense and stuff that says, you know, how can I be glad and boast in my infirmities? And he says, you want to know why the power of God doesn't rest on people these days much? Because he says, therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So what rests upon you when you're going through this kind of stuff? The power of Christ may rest upon me, not visit me, but rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm telling you, friend, the gospel that we have gotten, and I have gotten, and I have preached that this gospel that Kenneth Copeland preached, you know, it's made people think that if there's something going wrong, somehow it's a shameful thing, and that, oh, you're going to tell me that I'm going to be going through some trouble? Could you imagine the Apostle Paul telling the prophet that? And, you know, he'd been going, because that's, it's not because people don't love Jesus and they're not afraid of trouble. They're going, you know, why do you want to put trouble on me for? You know, that's kind of basically what we've been taught. And you can see it in the body. It's all through the body of Christ. Every time I give somebody a word, I mean, I'm talking about many, many people. And it even sounded like there's going to be some kind of trouble. Well, that right there, just like, nah, what? You sure that's the word of the Lord? You sure? I'm going to get, you're trying to put fear on me? You're trying to, listen, I've had this happen with bunches and bunches of people. Why? Because they're ignorant, dumb, unloving, Christ-like, un-Christ-like people? No. Because we've been taught this stuff. I've been taught this stuff, and I thought the same thing. So I'm trying to say to you and to me tonight that Paul the Apostle said he was given a thorn in the flesh,
because it was abundance of revelations, so he wouldn't be arrogant and pompous, and it was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he asked the Lord to deliver him. And the Lord said, no, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because that trouble was going to cause the power of Christ to rest upon him. Now, I'm not saying ask for trouble. I'm not saying if you get a word, there's something wrong with, you know, wondering what it means and all that. I do the same thing. We're not criticizing anybody, right? I need people to understand that. This is the theme. This is a thing in the body of Christ where we've been taught something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God's trying to help us get it right so we won't be accursed. You know, Paul said, if anybody preaches any other gospel than I preach, do you let them be accursed? What does a curse mean? Is he going around cursing people? That's not right. No, he's talking about you're outside the blessing. Paul says here, I glory in them so that the power of Christ will rest upon me. Therefore, in my weaknesses, in other words, when I'm really feeling like I'm getting whooped up on and like I'm having to, you know, fight for my life in Christ, it's like, wow, man, I'm weak. But in my weakness, I am strong. This is the gospel of Christ. And this is what Paul said. If anybody preaches anything other than this, it's not my gospel. And it'll be a curse. In other words, that area of that they don't believe in the real word of God, in the true word of God, they're going to be without the power of God on their life. They're going to be like they got a curse on them. Man, it's just like kind of my stuff's been cursed. They're like, I got a curse on something. Exactly. You know, it's not because the devil's cursing you so much. It's because sometimes people don't like to hear this thing about, they like to hear the blessings of God, but they don't hear about the curses of God. I talk about both of them. I put it in a scale and weigh the balances for their balance. Yeah, most of the time I talk about the blessings more than I do the curses. Of course I do, but God kept convicting me. He said, Randy, the scales are imbalanced. You're teaching more about, teach my word. Tell people that when they don't obey me that they're going to be outside the blessing, which is, you know, the curse, which is cursed. That's the way God describes being out from underneath his blessing as a believer. Being out from underneath God's blessing or his obedience, that's how he describes it, as being cursed. But we don't want to hear that. Curse means something else than what it means. And God's trying to help us understand. I'm talking about myself, friend. I'm preaching to y'all what God preaches to me. And with the Holy Spirit coming with the Word of God and start to explain to me the things I've been learning have caused me to be without the power of Christ in my life. And I said, God, I don't want that. Please show me. Am I rejecting suffering that comes from you? Yeah. Well, people say, well, if you knew your authority in Christ, the devil would never be able to. Well, I don't. Then where does the thorn in the flesh came thing? How do you see? I heard that with Kenneth Copeland. I'm going like, well, if you have the power of the Lord upon you, you rebuke the devil. And you go, well, that's what Paul is doing. He said, I rebuked him. I prayed three times. And when he says he prayed three times, that means he prayed probably for months, fasting and praying and crying out to God. And then, well, you know what happened? The God says, I'm not answering that prayer, Paul. And we're doing the same thing today, y'all. We are doing this. And God's trying to help us to not go around looking for suffering, not go around looking for, you know, that. But in your obedience, man, you know, sometimes God's going to use things to perfect you. I'm going to explain that to you. While we still have imperfections, we need trouble. I don't know about you, but I got some imperfections. The only time you're not going to have trouble, the only time the Holy Spirit's going to teach you by his word only is when you get to heaven. Because in heaven, you have no imperfections, no sins. While you're in the earth, you have imperfections. So because of the imperfections, God uses the enemy and trouble to bring those imperfections to the surface, not to destroy you or take you down or humiliate you, unless you need to be humiliated because you got a lot of pride, possibly. I don't know. I've had a lot of pride. I've had to deal with that. So once you're perfected, you don't need trouble anymore, like heaven. It won't have any troubles, right? God uses trouble to perfect us while we're here on the earth. Once we go to heaven, you know, it's over. And the more you let God, the more measure that you, the more the amount, the more percentage that you allow God to deal with you with this instead of rejecting it like I've done many times. I'm always praying. I pray all the time to God. I'll be glad I get out of this thing. I'd be glad when one day the Lord just got my attention and said, Randy, I don't want you to pray to get out of it. I want you to pray to get through it. I went, huh? He said, you want the power of Christ to rest upon you? I'm going, you know I do. Then pray to get through it, son. Quit listening. He knew who I'd been listening to. He said, you be careful who you listen to. You know? I'm going, yeah, now I know. Yeah, the major reward you have is how the measure, you know, the reward system, one of the reward systems is how you allow God to perfect you through trials and tribulations and troubles and sufferings, how you allow him to perfect you while you have imperfections. In other words, with that, you don't have a glorified body yet. So as long as you don't have a glorified body, friend, you're going to have imperfections. So am I. And because of that, God uses things like with Paul. Paul said, you know, because he was in the world, he still had flesh. He still had issues. He said, you know, through my much troubles. The Bible says in you know, the book of Acts, I just read it, in Acts 14:21, said, you know, through much tribulation, 22, much tribulation we entered to the kingdom of God. Why does it have to be like that? Because once you get to heaven, there's no more issues. You have no more problems. You have no more sin. You have a glorified body. Then you can learn directly from the Holy Spirit, and you will. But here in the earth, while we have imperfections, and we got flesh, and we got issues, and we got problems, we got things that God wants to work out of us. How does he do it? Through tribulations, through many of them. That's how we enter the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 14, verse 21. We got to remember this stuff, y'all. We got to get a hold of this stuff and quit listening to this nonsense that I've talked about it and taught it and believed it for a long time. A lot of things I've taught God straightening me out on. You know how humbling that is to have to say I've been wrong about something? The Lord says you can humble yourself or I'll humble you. I go, okay, I know about that one. Yeah, I do. Boy, do I ever. Through many tribulations, we enter into the kingdom of God. Wow. And that's what the apostles were preaching to the new congregation. Was that a false doctrine? I don't think so. It wouldn't be in the Bible if it was. And then Paul the Apostle, the guy who's the greatest warrior of all, a Benjaminite, the Benjaminites in the Old Testament, were considered wolves. You know, there's good wolves and bad wolves. Paul was a Benjaminite. Benjaminites are wolves. That's what they are. Look it up for yourself. But they went for the juggler. They were mighty warriors. That's what Paul did. Paul was a guy named Jonathan, went for the juggler, man, I don't think. He didn't play around with stuff. You can listen to him and watch him. You wonder why he's so aggressive and so go for the juggler? That's because he's a Benjaminite, man. They could fight with their right hand and their left hand. The only ones that could do it. He had that blood in him. And that's why God used him to come to the Gentiles and being a Jew, come to the Gentiles and being the apostle to the Gentiles. Yeah. Yeah, false on the flesh. You'll ever want to forget that. You know, King David. Remember King David. Watch this with King David. I've been studying about David. We're going to talk about David. I may talk about it a little bit tonight. But, you know, David was a mighty warrior too, right? He was a tribe of Judah, a mighty warrior, a picture of Jesus, the son of David, you know, the son of Christ, speaking of Christ, the son of David. So, you know, even look at how he messed up, man. You know why he messed up? I'm going to show you why he messed up tonight. I'm going to get all the scripture about it, but you'll know the stories about it. David, after he became king, they kept saying to David, you know, you need to stay home. You don't need to go to war anymore because we don't want our king getting killed. Like he hadn't got killed all those years, but we don't want you going to war. We're going to preserve you. So he started staying home, right? He starts staying home and he starts getting, you know, what's the word? He starts getting bored. Yeah, he starts getting bored. Start getting bored. He goes out on his balcony and he's looking around like, God, you know, I wish I was out there fighting with him, but yeah, since I'm king, I don't, you know, I'm pretty here. But so he quit being in, he quit having to fight for his life every day. He loved fighting for his life, for the Lord. He loved being a warrior for God. As long as he was a warrior for God, man, he was like, awesome, dude. He was so powerful. He was just holy and righteous and, you know, all this kind of thing. And then the troubles of going to war are no longer in his life. He doesn't have to go out and think about fighting for his life. He doesn't have to be, you know, ready for, you know, things, you know, troubles and things like that. So he's relaxed. Christ. He's relaxed. He's out relaxing. And relaxing, and pretty soon, what do you know? He's in adultery. And then he has the girl killed. It was awful. Why did that happen to him? Because he got bored. Well, some of you, some of us, some of me, some of we, will get, you know, sometimes you get bored, man. I mean, you know, I get bored easy. So I have to, you know, God, that's why God gives me a lot of revelation, because I instead of letting the boredom get to me, I don't let boredom get to me. I stay in the Word. I stay, you know, seeking God about what's going on. And because I'm doing that, you know, I'm at war all the time, in a sense. I'm at peace. David, let me tell you something. David loved to go to war. He loved fighting for God. He loved fighting. Fighting wasn't like, oh, my God, I don't know if I don't die today. Dear Jesus, oh, God, no. No, he was like, oh, man, I don't know how many I'm going to get today, but it's going to be a bunch of them. We're going to take them down. God's enemies, we're going to take them down. I mean, he just like, yeah, yeah, let's go. And when he didn't have that anymore, he got bored. Yeah, well, see, that's what troubles do for you. They keep you like your sword sharpened. Like, you know, he kept his sword sharp. He knew if he didn't have a sharp sword when he went out there and whatever else he used, you know, he knew good and well, you know, he was going to be in a chance of being taken down. So he kept his sword sharpened. Say that three times, sword sharpened, sword sharpened. Yeah, that's what he did. He kept his sword sharpened. And then pretty soon he gets in trouble. You know, he was so bored. He got so bored because he didn't have any trouble going. He wasn't having to preserve his life. He wasn't having to fight for God. But he talked himself into this horrific situation. And then, you know, after he got through doing it, see, sometimes when you get bored or you don't got things going on, are you doing the wrong things, and you're not really fighting God's battles, but you're fighting your own battles by yourself. You're not really out there doing what God wants you to do, but you're fighting, you know, a battle of your own. You know, it's going to get you in trouble. As long as you're fighting God's battles, you're going to be finding God and seeking him and finding him and seeking him and finding him. Why? Because you can keep your sword sharp so that you can fight the battle, right? You think every day, don't forget to sharpen your sword today. When you go out, you're going to need it. You know, and there's part of us, man, there's a part of us that all of us that wants to fight God's fights. Hallelujah. There's one thing, we know the battle's already won. When we go out, we know that he's already won. All we do is just keep our eyes on him. I've got a warrior in me, I know. Our wars are a little bit different than they used to be. We don't go out and take down the Philistines anymore with the sword. You know, we do it in different ways. But friend, I'm telling you, as soon as you get bored and you start like, you know, quit God, all your troubles are gone, and you're like in the land of what you call peace and tranquility, no troubles. Unless you're in heaven, you better beware, because trouble's going to come knocking at your door. So what tribulations do is they keep your eyes on, okay, I know I have an enemy. Thank God I have Jesus who's defeated that enemy, but I have an enemy who's trying to take me down. And you stay minded of it because you know you're in a battle, you're in a war. But you're not war-minded or battle-minded. Oh, I want everything to go fine. I want everything to go good. Well, who doesn't? I do. Every time Israel, you read about Israel, every time Israel got into wealth and got into blessing and didn't have, you know, the struggles and fights anymore, you know, they erred from God, just like David did. As soon as David wasn't fighting and fighting for his life, fighting for his life and fighting for God's kingdom and having a purpose, get up there lollygagging around, you know, I mean, he wasn't an evil, bad lust dog. He was just like, you know, he was a king, and he talked himself into thinking it's okay to do what he did. And the prophet had to come and make him mad. Well, the prophet came and made him really mad. Shook him up. Yeah, we're going to talk about that soon. How God uses prophets to make people angry to think about stuff. And that's why we're made to be rejected, because we end up saying things that make people upset, make them think about what they're doing, what they're not doing. That's our job. And man, when you see how David was dealt with and the way God had to use it to show him, open up his eyes through the prophet, it's pretty amazing. And I saw a lot of correlation in that, so I'm really excited about it. David lived an elaborate lifestyle, but he got it the right way. And what do you hear, oh man, you think some of our preachers live in an elaborate lifestyle. God told David, he said, after he did all this stuff, he said, man, you know, I gave you your master's house, you know, Saul's house. I gave your master's wives into your keeping. I gave you the house of Israel, of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have also given you much more. Verse 8. Yeah, verse 8 of, what is it, 2 Samuel. Yeah, 2 Samuel 12, verse 8. Man, this is some, wait till we get into this stuff, man. You're going to love this stuff. David, when you walk in the favor of God, don't be careful who you're going after about living elaborate lifestyles, because they're, if they're seeking God and they're doing God, and they got a relationship like David had with God, God said, man, I gave you everything, and if that wasn't enough, I made you rich, I'd have made you richer. That's what he told him. Read it for yourself. I gave you your master's house, your master's wives into your keeping, gave you the house of Israel, which is a big, big, you know, house of people, that is, and Judah. If that had been too little, the Lord said, I also would have given you much more, much more. David had much more. His treasure chests were full, brother. And after he got busted by the prophet, you know, God just said, man, I'd have given you a lot more. What were you thinking about? What were you doing? It's just like us. We got to put ourselves in these places to think, you know, we'll fall away in no time at all if we start thinking we get by with it. You know, that's our flesh. That's my flesh. That's your flesh. David thought he got by with it. Wait, I'm going to talk about this maybe tomorrow night about how God dealt with David and the way he revealed to him his sin and the particulars about it was pretty cool. I mean, I was like going, wow. You know, he told him, he said, I gave you everything you wanted, and I'd have given you a whole lot more. He didn't say I'd give you a little bit more. He said, if that had been too little, all the other things I gave you, I would have given you a whole, I would have given you much more. Yeah, much more. But be careful, man. I mean, if God's blessing somebody, if he's doing it and if they're keeping it there in the Lord, don't put your mouth on them, because you know what it'll do? It'll hinder your prosperity. I'm not saying we can't, you know, bring righteous judgment, but make sure it's righteous judgment and not unrighteous judgment, because if you do bring unrighteous judgment, you get that same unrighteous judgment toward you. So if you're over there, man, that's elaborate lifestyles over there, and some of them, you may be right about some of them. And if you're right, you're right. But if you're not, guess what? You're cursing yourself. You're bringing yourself out from underneath the blessing of God. Yeah, watch out. Make sure that what you're talking about, elaborate lifestyle, you may be right. But make sure it's right. Make sure it's right, because you will curse yourself. It's like somebody being jealous. Well, you know, I don't know where they got all that money. They probably get that money because they're just like a bunch of thieves. They probably get that money because, you know, how we talk about, I say that all the time about rich people. Yeah, they probably ripped people off, probably stole stuff, probably cheated, probably lied. Some of them probably did, but some of them didn't. There are some righteous people. Job is a great example, right? So we need to be careful how we criticize people for their blessings and bless those who are blessed. Yeah. Yeah, and it goes on and on. I don't want to go there right now or get stuck in there. We'll be there for another hour at least. Oh, my God, it's amazing stuff. All right, so we're going to get into that a little bit and try to learn from David for the purpose of ourselves, learning about ourselves. And don't forget that part where the Lord showed me that while we still have imperfections, we need trouble, because that's the way it happens. Through much trouble, we enter into the kingdom of God. It's not about going to heaven. It's about entering into the blessings of God, the glory of God, because the troubles and the anguish that you go through at times squeezes out that stuff that's keeping you from God's full glory in the earth. In the earth. We're talking about in the earth. If you're already born again, you're going to heaven, friend. troubles are just, if you walk with God in the midst of your troubles, they're just going to bring the power of Christ to rest upon you. You're going to love it. Is it difficult? I've gone through some things the last 5 or 6 years I couldn't tell anybody about. Because it was so, whatever, most people would say, yeah, you're just a delusional. You know, I had my own loving kinfolk tell me I was delusional until it all started coming to pass. Yeah. Well, how do you think it felt when they were telling me I was delusional? You think Donald Trump, Randy, this is what, I won't say the name, on a regular basis. You know, everybody's still saying that Trump's going to get in. Everybody's saying Trump, and that's just one of many things. And I had to live with that. Well, you know, I have to live with it that bad, but it was oppressive. It was like, you know, I really don't believe you. I believe those other people. You know, I mean, people have the right to believe whatever they want, but it kind of makes you feel a little bit, you suffer through that some, you know. You want people to believe that you're hearing from God, and we know they're not going to, a lot of them, but you hope some of them will, you know, and some of them do. But those who don't, you suffer with that. But it teaches you. God uses it to have the power of Christ rest upon you, take you places you'd never go without it. I could go on and on about that. We're going to stop, and I'm going to take callers tonight. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks for PGN. Thanks for God using you to help us get the work done, get the job done. We're going to be doing the Blood on the Doorpost tomorrow night, live on Zoom. So I'll be sending you guys the link on that tomorrow afternoon or sometime. And trying to learn how to do it. Hopefully we'll do it a little better each time. And, I've kind of got a little makeshift studio here. Not much, but praise God. I'm stepping out of the boat. Yes, I am. I'm stepping out of the boat, y'all. I'm believing God for full-fledged whatever God wants to have. And you know what? I'll do with little. Never forget the little days. Yeah. And I'm learning to take the little bit of bread, the 5 loaves, 2 fish I have, and use it, bless it, break it, ask God to bless it, use it, and watch him multiply it by the grace of God. It's going to be amazing. All right. Good to be with you tonight. Thank you for being with us. Our callers in line tonight, I'm going to go to call out the numbers so that so you can kind of know where you're at in line. 202, you're going to be first. 769, you'll be second. 863-605, next. 912-318, next. 484-745 after that. 910 after that. 610 after that. 402-650 after that. 828-989 after that. 325-280 after that. 240-482 after that. 804-218 after that. 214-646 after that. 912-991 after that. 847-505 after that. 720-819 after that. 803-991 after that. And then we have 3 or 4 people who don't have your hand up yet. And other people will call in later in the show from other areas of the United States. Different time zones and all that. So, all right. Let's take our first caller tonight and see how everybody's doing. All right. 202-722. Let's see if Daryl Paul can get it right on this one.
Oh, you know,
hey,
my intro, Randy. Daryl Paul and Nicole from Maryland and D.C. Thank you, Randy.
Okay. That's pretty good. I was telling him the other day, I texted him the other day, man, I'm trying to connect the audio from Zoom, what we do on Thursdays, to Block Rock Radio so it can all be one. And I haven't even had time to do that, Daryl. I mean, yeah, Daryl, if I call you Glenn Paul, I have a close kinfolk called Glenn Paul, so sometimes I slip. But Daryl Paul, yeah, man, I've been trying to work on some of that, but I haven't got to it much this week. So we're working on it. Everybody, y'all pray for me as my technical side kicks in. Really a lot of fun. All right, you guys, thank you, Daryl Paul, for the blessing of prosperity in your life, and God showing you, I just sense that God's going to water your heart. He's going to water your heart. Watering your heart means, you know, showing you different ways and showing up to you personally, and that so that you know that you can prosper. I mean, God's blessings and prosper and grow and multiply and increase in ways that you don't even expect. So God has, that's what God did with me, started watering my heart. You know, I knew that the Bible said that we could prosper and be in health even if our soul prospers, but, you know, is it really right? Is it for me? You know, does God want me to, you know, be poor? What does he want me to be? I don't know, you know. So he started watering my heart, started, you know, showing me little here, little there, watering me. He already planted the seed inside me. Now he just started watering me. So I see God really watering you toward that and causing your heart to be convinced, you know, he's going to bless you and that you're worthy as far as God's child. You know, when we're sinners and we're not born again, we're not worthy of anything, right? When we get born again, we're a child of God, man. And we have an inheritance from our daddy. And he's already died. And cool, he rose from the dead 3 days later, which really is a cool way to do it, man. I'm not going to talk much about that because I might go somewhere I don't want to go. And I'll be in trouble. Yes. But anyway, thank you, Jesus, for that, for the inheritance, God, that just like if you have your parents die, we have an inheritance. You know, if they had something to pass down, you kind of expect that. You kind of like going, yeah, you know, it's going to be awesome. And so, yes. So thank you, Lord, for that. And for Nicole tonight, Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the David that lives inside of her, God, that heart of David to worship the Lord, to honor the Lord, to not just seek the Lord, but to find the Lord. And not just to seek truth, but to find truth. And not just to find truth, but to give truth. And giving truth, that's kind of something that I think your heart lives to do, your life has been called by God to do, is to give the truth that you get, you know. And thank you, Lord, for that. You know, sometimes a lot of people get truth, but they don't share it. And God is, you know, opening up doors and opening up more doors for you to share and give the truth and bless people with the truth. And it's an awesome desire that's within you. And he's going to reward you for that in many different ways. The rewards of God are going to, when you know, greater condemnation comes on teachers who, you know, says, don't strive to be a teacher because the greater condemnation comes. So make sure you're called when you're called. But think about it the other way. When you teach, you know, what God's given you, it's not condemnation, it's glory, right? So the opposite of that is glory. So, you know, when God calls somebody to teach, you know, and we teach the word of the Lord, guess what? The glory rests on us because of that. So may the glory of God rest on you in Jesus' name as you break the word of God and truth in Jesus. All right, 769-220. Who am I talking to you from, please? Enrique and Chris. All right. I'm pretty sure that's Enrique and Chris tonight. I think we'll get that system worked out where she's got to go to work in the morning, or Chris, that I just ministered to him and they listened to it tomorrow night. All right. Thank you, Lord, for them tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Let me see if there's any prayer requests on all that before I go there. For Enrique and Chris tonight, God, we thank you, Lord, for your teaching them how to work the works of God. When you work the works of God, working the works of God isn't necessarily just going out and getting somebody saved, and getting somebody healed, and getting somebody delivered. Working the works of God, Chris and Enrique, is about working the work that God gives you. Like, where do you go to work at? Oh, I have a company. That's where I work at. Oh, did God give that company? Yeah. Well, why don't you go do the works of God? Well, because I'm working all the time. I can't do the works of God. And I'm working a lot. I give to other people to do the work of God. Oh, wait a minute. Now, I get this word from this guy. Said, when I'm doing the work of God at my work, I'm doing the works of God. Because when you're doing the will of God and you're doing business, you have a company, you have a thing, whatever it is, and that's the work God has given you to do, then you're doing the works of God by doing that. And God's going to open up your guys' eyes and show you that the works of God are more than just, you know, the wonderful things of, you know, healing the sick, raising the dead, and preaching the gospel, and, you know, full-time and all that. But the works of God is, you know, God's blessing coming through your company, through your business, through your work, and working the works of God fashion, man. That's amazing. So what it does, when you understand that, it helps, it activates you to see that, you know, that I'm doing the works of God. I don't have to, like, oh, man, I need to quit my job and go into the ministry and do the works of God. No, if you're doing what God's called you to do, right, when you do that, guess what? That is the work that God's called you to do. Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business. You know, because he was in the temple, you know, talking about the word. That was his business, you know. So it was his work. He was working the works of God. And they were amazed at his work. As a kid, they went, man, he works this stuff, baby. Watch it. Ooh, wow. He has some questions that are like, well, we don't even know if we have the answer, and they're so deep. They're so amazing. They were amazed at him because that was his work. He was doing the works of God, right? So no matter what we're called to do, whether it's raise a family, and raising families can be a work, man. It doesn't mean that we can't witness for Jesus and do some works in that kind of way, but we got to get our eyes on the fact that working the works of God is working with what God has given us. Yeah. And then watching God do miracles, the works of God in our businesses and the work that we did. Amen? Yeah. This is really cool. All right. 863-605. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Charles and Nikki from Florida. Could you please pray for Destiny?
Destiny, yes. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I can barely hear you there. I don't know if you're awake your phone or not, but or maybe my phone. I don't know. Maybe I need to turn that up a little bit. All right, maybe that helps. I hope. All right. I thank you, Lord, for Destiny tonight, God. We thank you for Destiny. Thank you, Lord, for the you know, being able to separate out the things of man and the things that are of the enemy, the things that are of men, the things that are of the devil, the things that are of God. To be able to separate out those things and be able to know, you know, okay, that's just that man doing, being, acting stupid. And sometimes it's the devil getting that man to act like that, or that person, where, you know, person, you know, or sometimes, you know, God may be, you know, doing some things to, you know, like we talked tonight, we talked about having troubles and how troubles, you know, Paul the Apostle had them given to him by God. Sometimes the troubles that we have, if we don't see them as, if we see them as, oh, my God, you know, because the devil's coming against me, man, that means that I'm not doing God's will. No, it doesn't. Paul the Apostle was doing God's will more than anybody. And he was sent, you know, thrown in the flesh. But we have to understand how to see it. Paul at first was seeing it as, oh, God, man, I got to learn my authority better. That's why he keeps telling authority. I got to learn my authority better because I got this like a thorn or something, like a demon coming after me, and I got to try to stop this. And he got his authority stuff in the name of Jesus, you know, and prayed three times, you know, probably for months each, fasted and prayed. You know, God finally one day says, man, I'm not listening to that. You know, I sent that to you to teach. So if we start seeing that, hey, God's allowing trouble to come to us, it's not the devil's out of control like Paul thought. You know, the devil's out of control, so I'm going to take authority over this thing. We're going to do with it. And guess what? It didn't get done away with. Yeah, it didn't get done away with. Oh, yeah. So what did it do? It perfected him. So let God show you, Destiny, the problems and issues. That way you don't feel condemned and think, well, I'm not really spiritual enough. I'm not really doing this enough, that enough, whatever it is. Okay? Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Charles and Nikki. God, we thank you both for the same thing in them, God, and to be able to see that eye-opening experience like Paul did. You know, sometimes we just think, we think we're being defeated. We think we're going down. We think it's, you know, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? What am I doing? What do I need to do better? What do I need to change? What do I need to do? And it's not that we don't need to change things, because that's what trouble does. Trouble causes us to think, you know, God, you know, how can I, you know, what do I need to change with me? And we all need to change things. We're all going to need to change things until the day that we go to heaven. Because when you go to heaven, in heaven, they don't teach people through trouble. They teach them the word of God, and because they did have a glorified body. But when you have an imperfected, sinful body, or, you know, not a sinful body, an imperfected body, which has issues and troubles, and doubts and fears, what does God do? He comes in through troubles. Talk about that tonight. One of the greatest men of God had troubles. Paul said, yeah. God said, I'm trying to perfect you, man. I want my power to rest upon you. So he started seeing that the things he was going through was to cause the power of Christ to rest upon him. Therefore, he quit resisting it, or in a sense, I don't know exactly how he did it, but once he realized that God had sent it and he wasn't going to answer his prayers, I don't know how he handled that exactly, because it doesn't say, or at least I haven't found it. May I find out soon. But it's amazing, man. So we're in God's will. We love God, but we think that because we're having trouble, just think, Paul probably thought, oh, the devil's coming after me. You've got Satan coming after me. I must be out of the will of God. I must be doing something wrong. Well, it wasn't that he was quite, quote, doing something wrong. It's because he had dependence on himself too much, because he was a very strong-willed, nice guy, a powerful Pharisee, a righteous Pharisee, by the way. And he had a lot of issues. What were his issues? He wasn't necessarily a sinner. Because he had a strong will. He depended on good works to get him out. And God says, your good works aren't going to do anything. You've got to die of that. So what did he do? He brought him trouble so he could learn how to, you know, die of his strong will of, you know, living right for God outside the strength of God. So he had to become weakened. And so all that stuff was weakening him. So when you feel weak, you know, if we can really get the true gospel of Jesus Christ, Charles and Nikki, in our heart, we're going to start seeing that when we're weak, we're not falling apart. We may feel like we're falling apart. What's happening is the power of Christ is resting upon us. It's amazing. But we don't think like that. Oh, in the world, I need to find somebody that can bind the devil off me. You know, I'm sure Paul probably tried to find some apostles and people to get the devil off him. You know, since people who specialize in demon casting out, you know, curing that devil. And if they'd been hearing from God, they'd have told him, well, I can't, Paul, because God says, you know, he's doing some work in you. You must have some issues. Issues. I got an issue. We all got issues. Yeah, so when we start seeing it, it changes the way we look at the gospel. And then the power of God starts resting on us, and it changes everything. Amen. Open that up, God. So they won't feel condemned or feel less than or feel weaker than or feel, understand that everything you're going through and whatever, yeah, if the devil, well, the devil's not supposed to be involved, that's what Kenneth Copeland thought. It's a lie from hell. I love the man. He's a great guy, but it's a lie from hell. Everything he taught about that. He even tried to twist around the thorn in the flesh thing. And when you read it and study it, which I didn't even really get into that part of it much, a little bit, man, I'm going to tear that thing apart. Here's God, show me what it really means and why the power of Christ didn't mess with us, but we just have a bunch of strong-willed people doing good things. That's all. That's it. A bunch of good people worshiping Jesus in our own will, in our own strength, doing our own thing for God and upon us. And God says, I'm going to break some people of that. If they'll learn to listen to the gospel of Christ, know that I'm involved in your weaknesses. I'm involved in, you know, why you're having trouble sometimes. Yeah. So we got to learn that. It's something I'm learning. I condemn myself every time. I feel like the devil's winning something over me. Like, what did I do wrong, man? Am I not spirit running? Yeah. And God goes, no, man, not either at all. We're going to talk about that, about the difference between that and how to take authority over things and what that means. All right. 912-318. You want to talk to the Trump, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Sandra and Robert from Georgia.
Hey, Sandra and Robert. All right. So I may just preach that everybody's done about this. I don't know what's happening, but thank you, Sandra and Robert, tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for the glory of God. If the glory of God's going to manifest on us, you know, the glory rests upon those who are yielded, you know. And so what does God do? He allows things to go difficult for us. Why? Because we have to quit, you know, fighting things with our own strength. We have to end up, you know, trusting God in ways that we thought we already were trusting God. I think Paul the Apostle's big deal with him was that he was really trusting God, man. I mean, he sincerely was like the man of God. He was sincere. He was on fire. He was killing Christians, man. He was willing to lay his life down for God. That's what he was doing. And then he found out, hey, you're doing all this in your flesh, man. And it just broke him up. He's like going, what? Jesus is really, Jesus said, you're persecuting me. And he got a whole new awareness of the glory of God and how that God had to, you know, bring him through that thing of his own strength, to the strength of God, and that meant becoming weak, and nobody wants to become weak. I do not like being weak. I do not like feeling weak. I do not like feeling vulnerable. But it's part of the way I'm made, part a little bit, and part of me is the opposite, right? And so any areas that we have in that, Sean and Robert, God's really going to do something in us so that when we get blessed, when we really, really get blessed, when we're fixing to really get blessed, when we get blessed, it's not going to get us in trouble. It's not going to cause us to, we say, oh, I would never, you know, if God blessed me big time, I would never get in the flesh. Yeah. Well, I think blessings are a better test than not blessings. Every time Israel got really, really blessed, they went into sin. So God is really on guard about that with his people, especially in the end time, that when we get blessed, that we are truly positioned in our heart to serve God and do whatever God says with what he gives us. And I believe you guys are called to that. So, amen. All right. 484-745, you want to talk to your company?
This is Devante, long time Lisa son. How you doing?
Hi, Devante. Good to have you tonight. We don't talk on Wednesdays, as you probably know. Thank you, Devante. Thank you, Lord, thanks for sending that scripture to me and that thought process you had going on today by text. I appreciate that. I thank you, Jesus, for Devante, God, that you know, one of the things that I even told your mom this, but about watering things. You know, God wants to just water you. You've got a lot of seed inside of you. But unless that seed falls into the ground and dies, and sometimes when we fall, when we come short, when we mess up, we fall. You know, sometimes a good fall, I say a good fall, it doesn't really feel very good to fall, but when we fall, when we realize, oh my God, you know, then that seed, all those seeds, all those scriptures, all those words, all those things, when they fall into the ground of your life, and they begin to, the Bible says, Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it can't multiply. It can't bring forth life. But sometimes a fall, as horrible as it is, seed in our heart, that the word of God in our life that we've had all of our life, one way or the other, it causes it to fall into the ground. We open up because we're broken, and it falls deep into the ground, and we go, oh, my God. And then it begins to produce fruit. So I thank you, Jesus, for all the words that have been spoken over him through his family, through his pastors, through his friends, through whoever they are, me, others, and all the seeds that now that he's gone through this time of falling, God, he's going to fall in love with you in a whole new way. When we fall in love with Jesus because we know his grace, his love, his mercy, his compassion, and his power. So, amen. Sometimes we try to serve God in our own strength. I've done much of that. And that's why I was sometimes falling, or like Paul the Apostle was given a thorn in the flesh. He didn't necessarily, quote, fall like some of us did, you know, but he is, you know, he was knocked off his horse. So he didn't fall, he got knocked off. Well, thank God you didn't get knocked off, right? He got knocked off his horse. Yeah. Some people fall, some people get knocked off. Jesus knocked him off. Yeah. And so he went to the ground. And boy, when he hit the ground, it's like, all that seed in him began to produce fruit. So thank you, Lord, for my brother, that he has something to look forward to, that seed in his life from the Word of God all these years is going to become actually the bear the fruit of God, where he's living on the power of Jesus instead of his own will and his own strength, trying to do God's stuff for God instead of letting God do his stuff through him. And I thank the Lord he's going to do that, walking that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 910-379. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hello, this is Faye out of North Carolina. Faye and Dale, North Carolina. Faye, yeah, and Dale, yeah.
Oh, Dale. Okay, Dale. All right, I got it. Thank you, Faye. We love you, girl. All right, good to hear you tonight, Faye and Dale. Thank you both for Dale. Thank you, Jesus, tonight. Let me write that name down, so I'm sure I won't forget it, but you know. All right, Dale. Thank you, Lord, for Dale. Father, we thank you for Dale, that Dale's heart is searching and looking, and sincerely, when we move to sincerely looking and finding, you know, about certain things in our life, we can find answers in other ways. We could have found the answer in many ways. But when we start seeking God sincerely, you know, in ways that before we were, you know, halfway doing it, you know, then all of a sudden we start finding out that, wow, the more I seek him, the more I find him. And the harder I seek him, the deeper I seek him, the deeper I find him. So, Dale, it's about how, you know, the knowing of God, the loving of God, the knowing God's love more and more and more all the time is about that we give to him. And it's hard. God knows it's difficult for us to trust him with everything. We trust him with everything until he starts taking it, and then we start going, ah, wait a minute. That's what I've been. Many times. I think I want that back right now. I don't think I can handle not having that around. He said, oh, he who loses his life for my sake will gain life. So it's about losing so that we gain. It's not about gaining so that we can lose. Some people, a lot of people gain and they lose. But we start losing our life or giving our life. Or the more we yield, the more he builds. The more we yield, Dale, the more he builds. So I thank you, Lord, for her life, for Dale's life, as Dale yields to you, that Dale will find that the more that Dale yields, the more that you build. God's building back. And it's all about how much he builds is how much Dale gives over. So thank you, Lord, for that. And your love and your mercy and your grace upon Dale, that Dale will see that, you know, the more I trust him, because we all trust him to a certain degree, but Paul the Apostle was given a thorn in the flesh. He trusted God a lot, but, you know, it caused him to trust God a lot more. Because he said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. In other words, when I lose or I've suffered loss, when I give over something to God and I'm willing to lose it for him, then I gain. Paul gained much. But he willingly gave over much too. Through a strong wrestling match with God, though, like we all do. Like wrestling, most of us wrestle. If you're a pretty good wrestler, you know, they may go on a little longer. But hopefully, Paul just wrestled and wrestled and wrestled, and he finally came to the conclusion, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. So thank you, Jesus, for Dale and your love upon Dale. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for faith tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus, I see you with some gloves on, like boxing gloves, they're boxing gloves and they're cooking gloves. You know, like a, you know, little thing you put on your hand to keep you when you're cooking. And so I see that. It's like it's a cooking glove and it's a boxing glove at the same time. So you put it on your hand like a glove, right? And I see this thing where you're boxing, you're learning to fight and learning to do warfare, and then you're cooking up stuff. You're getting information. You're getting food from it. And getting food for thoughts for other people to give people thoughts about what you're learning. Sometimes when we're learning, we don't always know exactly what the end result of what we're going to learn is, but we tell people what we're trying to learn on the way out. And when they're trying to learn, they can share what they're trying to learn too. It may not be all exactly right what we think we're learning, but when we get through with it, Joseph thought he was learning, you know, that he was not guilty and that God was going to take him back to Canaan. But the truth is, it was completely different. He wasn't going to take him back to Canaan. You know, that wasn't going to happen. He took him, he had him right where he wanted it. And, so thank you, Jesus, for your strategies. Or as Faye learns to box, you know, we don't box the air, but we box, we know how to box them up. We had to, you know, throw punches in Jesus' name. And also, cooking up words, cooking up information, cooking up, you know, rhythms, cooking up songs, cooking up lyrics, cooking up stuff. Just cooking up. And you're going to cook up from what you learned to box with or, you know, in your warfare, in your strategies with God. Amen. Awesome. All right. 610-969. Who want to talk to you from, please?
Shalom, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa from PA. And Devontae said he sent you a rap, rhythm and poetry.
Oh, it was a rap. Okay.
That's what he said. I'm going to check his phone. Maybe he sent you something else. I don't know. But that's what he told me.
Yeah, he did send me something. Maybe I didn't know it was a rap, though. Maybe he said it was a rap. I read it, but I didn't know it was a rap. So I'll be wrapping that up then.
Yeah.
Tell him that. We'll be wrapping some stuff up with that rap. All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, I like anything. I like any kind of thing if it has the Word of God in it or, you know, information. I like rap. I don't think anything wrong with rap. But, you know, just like any other thing, the devil takes it, uses it for his glory, and we think it's all bad when, you know, God says, hey, you know, I'll use it for me. As long as the spirit of it's right and all that. Yeah, I love rap, man. It's cool. Some of those guys, I can see why people like rap. Some of it is the rhythm of it, the flow of it is pretty awesome. And if the message is good and the spirit behind it is good, wow. Wrap it up, baby. Wrap it up. That's what I say. Wrap it up with rap. We're rapping Christmas presents. We're rapping the rap. The gift of Jesus. Yeah. I'm not a rapper. I can't rap, but I can. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Lisa tonight, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for that. The hovering power of God, Lord, that hovers over her, and you know, the hovering, you know, like in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it said that the Spirit of God hovered over the earth, over the deep, over the depth, over the deep. You say it hovered over the deep. Yeah, I think it said the deep. And so you know, God's wanted to take you deeper, and so what He does when He wants to take you deeper, He hovers over the deep. Let me see if I can read that real quick. Let me go there. I want to read that just so I quote it correctly. Instead of fumbling around here, trying to do my thing. In the beginning, here it is. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form. The things that are without form, right, in your life and around your life, in void and darkness. And the earth was without form and void and darkness, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Wow. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then that's when God spoke. See, He hovers over something. He hovers over it. And then all of a sudden, when He gets in that right place, the right thing, then the Spirit of God starts praying, and He says, let there be light. First thing He said, after hovering, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep, the face of the waters. Right. Then He spoke and said, let there be light. And I declare and decree with Jesus' name that the words of let there be light, let there be light, let there be light, let there be light, because of the hovering of God over the things that have been void in her life, maybe her family, the different things that have come with that form, that had no form about them. They just kind of like, no form about it. No, there's no form about this. And void, things that are void, and things that of darkness. Yeah, and thank you, Jesus, for that. That word began to flow up out of her in Jesus' name. And let there be light. In other words, let the light. And that's when things begin to turn around and change. Amen. Amen. All right, 402-650, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, it's John with Omaha.
All right, hey, y'all, good to have you tonight. John and Melissa from Omaha, amen. All right, thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa. Thank you, Lord, for your love for them, God. Thank you for graduation time, for graduating, for looking forward to. There's a time that we go through things because we're going through a test, we're going through a training. And we start seeing things as training instead of, you know, when's this all going to be over? Like I've done things. I used to pray all the time. Man, God, I'll be glad when I get out of this one. And, you know, I always said, I'm not trying to get you out of it. I'm trying to get you through it. I'm trying to teach you something. So you can graduate. Yeah, you can have graduation. So I started seeing things as I got to get through this thing instead of out of it so that I can graduate. You know? Yeah, I'm graduating. That's the goal, graduation. It's like getting that diploma. You know, I've been diplomed. I've been authorized, you know, to function as a, you know, graduate. I'm graduated. So we graduate, you know, we go from class to class to class, and then we graduate. We graduate from different things, better, you know, different levels of graduation. But we understand that what we're going through is a test. It's all, we're being tested. And if we keep failing the test, then we're not going to graduate. Right? So it's like, okay, God, show me how to pass the test. If I have trouble, learning something, then bring me somebody that can help me learn, that can teach it to me the way I can get it. That's what happened to me in high school. I was, you know, a ball player, and there's some things I wasn't passing, and we're going to be playing ball if I didn't pass. So, you know, the quarterback on the team was a great teacher. He, by the way, he graduated from college, and he became a principal at a Mule Shoe High School, believe it or not. So he taught me. He started teaching me. They appointed him to teach me, and, man, he's a great teacher. And, man, he taught me, and I started passing my test, you know, so I could graduate, so I could play ball. And, yeah, so it was really amazing. Because we, you know, look forward to one thing. You keep thinking, you keep failing, you're thinking, I'm not ever going to graduate. I'm going to be here forever. Exactly. The Children of Israel were there for 40 years. They never got out. You know why? Because they didn't realize they were being tested for graduation. But one day, you know, yeah, anyway, so just God's trying to say, he wants you to remember what you're going through, why you're going through it, the both of you guys, so you can know that it's about graduating from it. You're learning, 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 growing, 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 and then you graduate. All right, then you move on to the next thing. It's really a lot of fun. Yeah, I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. Thank you for being with us tonight. All right, 828, hang on a second. 828-989, you want to talk to the front, please?
This is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hi, Jennifer. All right. Thank you, Jennifer. Yeah, this whole thing about the awoke movement, you know, the waking up movement, it's like the world is, you know, we're all talking about, you know, fighting the woke movement. And we should be. But the thing is that God is showing me, starting to reveal to me that because the church hasn't been awoke, you know, the right way, you know, there's a lot of things that are awakening, you know, and so this is happening, and we're really in a battle for our lives of waking up. You know, what are we waking up to? You know, what's waking us up? Are the right things waking us up or the wrong things waking us up? So we're learning how to, you know, like with me, I'm learning how to, a lot of things that I learned many years ago from, you know, well-meaning people were wrong. And not all of them, but a lot of it was. And so, you know, as the Holy Spirit began to teach me, he began to wake me up. He said, Randy, wake up. You know why you're sleeping? I said, I'm not sleeping, Lord. I'm on fire. He said, no, you're sleeping compared to where I'm going. You think my glory is resting on you? Oh, your glory. Yeah, you're awakening me to your glory. That's why Moses said, you know, show me your glory. And he had already seen the glory of God. He saw the Red Sea open up. He saw God pour plagues out on Egypt, take Egypt down. I mean, there's no way they could have got out of Egypt. That was totally the glory of God, miraculous. But you know what? Moses later, he said, man, I need some fire. I need the glory. Show me your glory. You know, I want to see your glory. He was so hungry for God. He was so hungry for God. And because he knew his weaknesses, he knew the things that, because he knew that he needed to be constantly awakened. And awakening is something that just happens, you know, once in our life. As you know, it happens, it's a continual thing. God is waking us up, waking us up, waking us up, waking us up. And if we're not willing to let God wake us up, oh, no, I'm not going to be awakened with that. You know, I'm not going to, I already know what I believe about that. And I'm not going to go there. Yeah, I'm not, my tradition, my things that he, no, I'm not going to learn that. And so we don't learn those things, ever learning, and therefore we stay asleep. Oh, we still love Jesus. We're still walking around, but we're like zombies. You know, we're not really flowing in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God, we're just like barely making it. Like, oh, my God, you know, what am I going to do? So, and I'm talking about me at times in my life, too, different times. Like, you know, God says, I'm trying to wake you up. You've got to have the right doctrine. You got to have the right scriptures. You got to have the right understanding of what the word really means. If you don't, you're going to be asleep. You know what puts you to sleep? False doctrines. They may look good. They may sound good. But when I learned that stuff from Kenneth Copeland and other people, too, not just him only, but, you know, it just like, it put me to sleep. Put me to sleep. Well, I started getting into the Word of God myself, and God started waking me up. So that woke movement, you know, that's all a sign that God's trying to wake us up. And so let God, you know, really do his total wake-up job on you, and I know you are, and let him do that because it's going to be powerful. And he may change some things. He may change a lot of things. I don't know. I don't know you at all. So, and then God is good. All right, 325-280. Who am I talking to, friend, please?
Chris from Texas.
All right. Thank you, Lord. One of the things that I see God doing with you is giving you courage to face dangers, to not be afraid to face dangers, like dangers of walking into a leopard colony, you know, and praying for the leopards or something like that. Or, you know, or the things of that most people be afraid of. God's really wanting to bring you to this place to where you don't fear death. You know, I was listening to scripture today and talked about those who feared death, you know, and one of my best friends, one of the first prophecies I gave him where I met him, I didn't even know him. We were at a home group, a T.D. Jakes home group, and he walked up to me and said, "Hey, man, can you pray for me?" I went, "Yeah," and I didn't know who he was. I started praying for him. His name was Dickie, and I started praying, you know, I see the fear of death. You have a thing with the fear of death, and, you know, and he went, "Wow, man, wait a minute." He said, "That's exactly right. That's one of my, that's my biggest fear, the fear of death." People deal with the fear of death for different reasons. And so sometimes it's not, you know, on our back all the time, but, you know, God's wanting to bring some people through this thing where they don't fear death, death in any kind of form, death in sickness and disease, death in being run over by a truck, death by having an accident, death by whatever, you know, and totally setting free from the fear of death so that when we walk into places where there's death all around, life is able to come. You know why? Because we don't fear death. We don't fear that disease. We don't fear that sickness. We don't fear what Satan can do to us. Because Satan's trying to do all kinds of things, just like the Paul. You know, all kinds of things coming on. You know what? And Paul conquered. Paul conquered. God brought him through. He taught him some things. And he feared Satan less and less all the time. Amen? And feared death less and less all the time. And so, you know, a lot of the reason Peter denied Jesus was because he feared death. He feared, you know, they were going to come get him. They were coming to get him. He said, "No, that's why," he said, "I don't know who he is." You know, and so later on, he got nailed upside down on the cross because he didn't fear death anymore. Right? He said, "Yeah, you know, he wouldn't even let them crucify him the way they crucified Jesus." He said, "I can't, you know, I want to honor my Lord. I'm not worthy of that." He got, you know, crucified upside down. You know what? This guy's walked in the realm of fearing nothing. Joshua, when Joshua was being raised up, Chris, God said, you know, be courageous, because courage is everything. And he was in fear. If he would have been in fear, God wouldn't have been sending somebody to tell him, you know, be courageous if he hadn't been in fear. He was in fear. It was a real fear, and God used it to make him weak and to cause him to, you know, find God. And to, when God, you know, he depended on God to give him courage and strength, and it changed his life. And he was able to go take down the walls of Jericho, which was totally impossible. He no longer feared. When you got courage, you don't fear death. You don't fear the things that Satan can do. Because we know who he is. We know that he's been defeated. So when you know he's been defeated, you don't fear him in any fashion or form, as you know. So God's really going to burn that in you. It's about, about dealing with the fear of death in any aspect of your life. You know, fear of death of losing a child, fear of death of losing a family member, fear of death of, you know, whatever it is. Fear of death of your finances, fear of death of all kinds of areas. And any area we have a fear of death in any fashion, and not just physical death, but financial death or social death or whatever, family things, whatever that thing is, it leaves the door open for the enemy to come in and bring some kind of fear. You use that fear to bring in things. So, God protects us while we're learning to grow, and thank God. But I see him really bringing to that place where you fear no evil, you fear no death. Yea, though I walk through the... Whoa, dude, listen to this. That's what God said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Woo! Take that and put that in your sandwich and eat it, dude. That's amazing. Wow, that just flowed like a river right there. Yep. I don't know if you felt that or not. I did. Maybe because I needed that, right? I don't know. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me, man. Hallelujah, bro. Woo! You're going to be walking through some valleys of shadow of death. You're not going to fear any evil one because he's with you. Bringing people out of death, all kinds of death. Death thought processes of suicide, death processes of all kinds of things. Yeah. Amen. All right. All right, 240-482. Who am I talking to your friend, please?
This is Valerie from North Carolina, and could you Also pray for my daughter, Grace.
Grace, yes. Yes. Absolutely. Let's pray for Grace. Give me a second here. All right, Grace. Valerie, we'll pray for Grace. Thank you, Lord, for Grace, God. We thank you, Lord, that we see the blood of Jesus over her, God. We thank you that every promise from God belongs to her because she's been covered by the blood, lives in a household that has the blood of Jesus, that where the presence of God dwells and the presence of God lives, God. And I thank you that every fear, everything that would cause her to fear loss of any kind, fear any kind of, in Jesus' name, will be broken off of her, and who she can know that God wants to prosper her life, wants to make her move forward, and that she, it's not about what she knows or doesn't know or how good she is or how unworthy or how ungifted she feels like she is. It doesn't really matter. It's the grace of God. And God, really, I ask you to show her that, you're with her. You're on her side. And giving her your grace to be able to see it, to know it, so she will not fear any kind of failure, any kind of death, any kind of thing. In Jesus' name, that fear will be broken off of her completely and shut every door to every trap that the enemy would try to set to bring her down or to bring her to a place of where she can, will be allowed in her mind. She will allow herself by the Holy Spirit to believe God's going to prosper her and going to bless her and make her successful and make her help her to get through things and pass tests and make grades and do things right. In Jesus' name, she can do that and she will do that in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're thankful for that and for your Holy Spirit on palms of grace tonight, Jesus. And let her come to rest with you about those things, that you love her. Amen. In Jesus' name, above all things. All right, Valerie, Jesus gave his life for us, which shows that he valued us more than he does, he valued the fact that he asked the Father, he said, can this cup pass from me? In other words, is there any way to do this thing, or do I have to do it this way, or whatever? I don't know exactly what he meant by that, but we realized that because he was willing to give his life for us, that one thing right there shows how precious that we are to him, and shows how valuable that we are to him. It shows how that he knows us, he loves us, he watches over us, and that he didn't give his life in vain. He gave his life for us because he's focused on us. He knows that we don't know what we're doing when we mess up and get messed up. He knows that we don't know what to do and how to do it. He knows that the only way we're going to be blessed is to know God, know the Father, know the Holy Spirit. So I thank you, Jesus, for opening her up to that realm of knowing the Holy Spirit in ways that she's never known him before. May she have new encounters with God the Spirit, and God the Father. And I thank you, Jesus, for that and for opening her up, God, and letting her be able to release strength to her children, be able to release courage to her children. God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. All right, 804-218, who want to talk to you from, please?
It's Angie from Virginia.
Hey, Angie. All right, good to have you tonight.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good. Thank you for asking. Doing pretty good. Thank you, Lord, for Angie. God, I thank you for here's one thing. I know you're a servant. I know you love to serve. I know you love to get out and do and help. But it's like I see, like Jesus, when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, and Peter said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And he didn't want to be clean. It wasn't, didn't know what he wants. But it's like, it's like I see you, the servant part of you, which is what makes us great, having to sit and let the Lord, like I see the Lord washing your feet. And you having to sit there and go a little squirmy at first, like, oh God, yeah, like Peter, a little bit, like, okay, let's go after and do some things for God. What are we doing? You're gonna wash feet? You're gonna wash my feet? You're gonna wash my feet? And so that servant part of us sometimes doesn't let God serve us when He wants to. Sometimes God wants to serve us. Sometimes the Lord wants to serve us, And because when he serves us, it causes us to want to serve, you know, deeper or more with more love or more whatever. And so when the more we let him serve us, the more we want to serve, and the more we serve the way he serves, because we see the way he does, how he serves us. You know, most people don't see God and the Holy Spirit as servant, but Jesus said, you know, the Spirit of God, God's going to come, and he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. He's going to serve you. He's going to serve. He's coming to be, you know, to be your teacher. He's coming to help you. He's coming to, you know, without the Holy Spirit, you know, we wouldn't get anything done. He's the doer of everything. He serves us. He serves us to get the will of the Father done in our lives. So I see you learning how to let God serve you, which is kind of unusual when I first saw that. I mean, right away I just saw that, like, Peter going, you know, of course, when he finally said, Jesus finally told him what he said, he said, oh, worth my everything, you know. Like, do the whole job, yeah. He said, no, I'm just going to wash your feet. When your feet are clean, you're going to be clean all over. Because he was already clean. He was already chosen, called of God. God was just washing, Jesus washing his feet. So anyway, that servant part of you, learning how to let God serve you, and the more you do that, the more you see how God serves, and when we see how God serves, you know, it's like a training thing of how to let God comes in, and the whole training is us sitting in chairs and God serving us, you know, and showing us all these different ways to serve. God doing that for us, man, it's amazing. And then we go, wow, I know how to serve now. I watched my daddy do it. I watched Jesus. I watched the Holy Spirit serve me. So now I know how to do it. Amen. Amen. All right. Awesome. That's how God makes us great. All right. 214-646. Can I talk to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Sam from Tanisha from Texas. And will you also pray for Jewel?
Jewel?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yes. Jewel. That's a good word. That's a good way to start out a prophecy. Jewels. The jewels of God. Yeah. I think you said jewels. Thank you, Lord, for jewels tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for Jewel, that everything that is contrary to the will of God, that you'll begin to teach Jewel, you know, what the will of God is, you know, what's right. You know, people just don't know, you know. There's also somebody else named Jewels out there, too, I feel like, that's listening right now, or something that like that name. And so that God is showing you that, you know, he wants to show you that all the treasures that he has for you, that it's not just a religious thing. It's everything. Everything belongs to us. Everything does. And so when everything belongs to us, then we learn how to, you know, let the Lord bring us everything. We don't reject him on anything. We don't say, well, I don't believe in healing. I don't believe in that. The reason you believe him on everything is because everything he has is nothing but blessing and life and prosperity. And, you know, yeah, when we have troubles, he's there with us. He shows us. He leads us. He guides us. And I thank you, Lord, for Jewel, that you teach her how to receive the fullness of God's blessing and not miss out on, not come short of the glory of God in any fashion or form, that Jewel's will receive, you know, that that Jewel's heart will really be open to just being loved and letting God love Jewel. In Jesus' name, it's like petting your dog. You know, it's like the, you know, dogs. They just love being petted. They'll lick you. They lick you in the face. They'll pet you. You know, so to speak. They'll, you know, love you and rub up against you. And the man, when it comes to petting them, they don't think a thing about it. They just roll over and they, yeah, go at it, mom, or whatever. So let Jules learn how to do that, so she can receive the full blessing of God. Let God love her. Love Jules and bless Jules. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence and Felicia. God, I thank you for the different waves of things they've gone through, Lord. I thank you that all the things they all the different levels of growing and learning that they've done. You know, you do things. You sometimes you do everything perfect. Sometimes you mess up some stuff. You know, so what? So what? God's like going, hey, you know, I'm going to teach you through everything. You're going to learn through everything, and it doesn't really matter. You know what? What we do perfect and what we don't do perfect. It's a fact that we have a heart to learn from God. You know, sometimes you step out on the water and you sink a little bit. So what? That's part of it. I mean, we're trying to learn how to step out on the water. When we do, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to sink a little bit. And God's like, Jesus is going like, man, I'm not going to let you sink. You know, we may start going down, sinking a little bit. And he just grabs hold of us and takes us in the boat. And it's a big learning lesson. He didn't even make a big deal out of it. Like, okay, let's just move on. You know, no big deal. You know, later Peter, you know, did a lot of messed up stuff, man. You know, and the whole time, because Peter had a heart for God, you know, Jesus kept saying, you know, feed my sheep, man. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Yeah. And Peter knew his imperfections, and he knew his things that he struggled with and battled with, and he knew that he didn't deserve some things, and God blessed him anyway because he knew that Peter would eventually, one day, he's going to get it all right. Right? He wasn't going to deny the Lord anymore. He's going to die on the cross upside down and do it gladly, you know, because he learned. He learned through things he made mistakes on, he failed on. He sunk in the water a little bit. He, you know, denied Jesus. He did different things. So what? You know, it's like we learn from it and we grow from it. That's what we do. I thank the Lord for parents to teach you, God, that everything they go through, God, is nothing but a teaching, learning thing. All of it is. And may they see it like that all the time. Not as a condemnation thing, not as, oh, look what you did or you didn't do, whatever the thing is. It's like, no, okay, God, what do I learn from this? And the things you learn from that, y'all are going to teach y'all how to help other people when they make mistakes, when they sink sometimes, when they do whatever they're going to learn from it like Peter did. And Jesus knew Peter was going to learn from it. He knew Peter had a heart for that, just like you guys have a heart for it. He knew they had a heart for that, that Peter had a heart for that. And that eventually he would do it, and that's why he was going to be such a good feeder of sheep, because he knew what it's like to make mistakes and fail. And how Jesus said, man, like he expected the Lord to reject him or to go like, hey, bad boy. He didn't do that. He said, come on, man. You're going to get it. Let's go. Get up and go. Don't let condemnation get you down. Just keep going for Jesus. Amen. All right, that's where the Lord is. And that's the way I want to be always in my life, and that's the way you guys are. And God help us to learn all that stuff. So, amen. You and Terrence both. God bless. Hallelujah. All right. And 612, hang on a second here. All right, 612-991. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hello, Randy. This is Joyce. And if you could also pray for Beverly.
Okay, Beverly.
From Minnesota.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. Yeah. We thank you, Lord, for Beverly tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for Beverly that Beverly has just a whole different attitude about her, a whole different spirit about her. And that's what God made her, in the sense, the thing is that he's going to take all those things that causes her to be contrary. I'm going to use the very same thing of her character, of her nature, and cause her to be a very strong, obedient, God-fearing person. And when as God does that more and more and more in her life, you're going to go like, oh my God, I didn't realize that was in her. You know, just like Paul. Paul was so zealous for the Lord that he was killing Christians. He was doing all the wrong things, thinking he was doing the right thing. Sometimes we do the right thing. We do the wrong thing, thinking we know we're doing the right thing. You know, how do you think God looks at that? Now, he looks at it like, okay, I like this guy. I'm going to knock him off his horse and get him, man, because he's like, even though he's killing me and killing my people, you know, I could use this guy. So he takes him and his stuff, and he blesses him, and he uses him, and he knows he's not worthy of it, but, you know, he's going like, man, all his characteristics that were such a pain in the neck to Jesus, he made it into a glory thing. And I thank you, Jesus, for that with Beverly, God, that everything in her life, God, that she feels like, why do I feel like this? Why do I do that? Why do I have these things? God, you're going to take all those things, and you're going to turn them into something good. You're not going to stop her personality. You're going to use her personality to what she is and fill it with love and mercy and grace, and use her to help people, to love people, to help people get through things. And bless her for that, God, and give her strength and open her up and show her that you love her. Fighting for them. All right, Joyce from Minnesota. Thank you, Joyce from Minnesota, and thank the Lord for you know, be careful for nothing, but in all your everything, give thanks. You know, in all your prayers, offer your give thanks. something like that. I'm not quoting it very well, but thank you, Lord, that in all those things, God, that she gives thanks for you, because you know, God, the thing about God, Joyce, is that God does is that he takes failure and mistakes. He takes people who are imperfect. He loves to take people who who have messed up stuff, man, and take them and then turn them around and then use them to defeat the devil. I mean, he just does, he just loves it. He takes people that are messed up, that make messes, that, you know, do things, and he turns around and he makes them, you know, something powerful. He makes them something amazing. And it's the biggest trophy that he's ever had. Instead of taking somebody who did everything right all the time, he takes people that mess stuff up. He takes people who make mistakes, and he takes them and uses them. And he loves doing it. That's why we got to get that thing about God right. It's not about Jesus said, I came, you know, I didn't come to heal the righteous. I came to heal the unrighteous. Those who need a physician, I came for them. And so I thank you, Lord, for all those things, those people in her life, God, that are very needy, that they're going to be the most, they're going to be the ones who are going to be the most blessed and the most filled. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 847-505, can I talk to you, Trump, please?
This is Marja from Illinois.
Hi, Marja. Marja, good to have you. Thank you, Lord, for her mind, God. I thank you for the mind you've given her, God. You've blessed her with a mind, God, that as you, it's like I see God retraining your mind because people haven't understood you and the way you think, the way you feel, and all kind of thing. And so because they didn't, God's going to take that just like he did with me. A lot of people didn't understand the way I learned, and therefore they taught me in ways that I couldn't get it. Therefore, I felt like I was like not that smart. What can I find out when God started teaching me? You know, I was learning things faster than the people who were really smart. Well, what's up with that? Because, you know, God began to show me, he taught me and began to, you know, help me the way that I needed help instead of the way that everybody thought I needed help. The things they thought that I needed, I didn't really need that. But God knew what I needed, Marja. And because of that, oh my God, that's how he takes people who are, you know, who people look down at as you know, well, you know, he's a nice guy, but he ain't never going to go over because he can't. And then end up, God takes me, you know, places that he never takes them, you know, because once he starts teaching me, that's why the Bible says the Holy Spirit's going to come and teach you. He's going to be your teacher. He's going to lead and guide you. Because the Holy Spirit knows Marjorie. He knows exactly how to teach you. He knows how to make you the smartest kid in town. He does. He knows how to make you the most creative, the most thoughtful. He knows how to unlock, you know, the blessing in you, the you know, the proper way to think, the proper way to act, you know, before God and before people, and how to, you know, get information and understand things. Because when he teaches you, you're able to learn everything. Instead of getting 50%, you get the whole thing because you're getting taught the way you can learn it. You're getting talked to the way that you can understand it. And because of that, Mark, God's going to get all the glory for what he does in your life. Yeah, because he says, you know what, nobody could quiet do you like I did it. Because, you know, because I understood you. I knew you better than you knew yourself. Because I made you, I created you. Yeah, and so I thank you, Lord, for developing Marjorie, God, into that special place, you know, special miracles in her life, God, in Jesus' name. And let her never let the enemy get her down to the world of the flesh by saying, well, you know, this didn't happen and that didn't happen. I thank you, Lord, for showing her that that's what the warfare is about, is what we believe, what we know, what we know God's going to do in our life. We're not going to bow down to anything less because it doesn't seem like it's happened, it doesn't seem like it's working. That's why the whole Bible is full of, you know, speaking those things that are not as though they were. That's what that's in there about. So I thank the Lord for that in Marjorie's life, God, and blessing her in Jesus' name. Amen. Open her up and bless her. Prosper her. Hallelujah. All right. 803-991. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Carolina. And can you play for my brother, David?
Brother David? Okay. I can barely hear you guys. Some reason. All right, thank you. I will pray for David. Thank you, Lord, for David. Kind of like you're outside mowing the yard or something. Not mowing the yard, but maybe. Anyway. Yeah. All right. Good to have you tonight, Angela. Thank you, Jesus, for Angela and And hang on a second here. You said his name was David?
Yes, David. Mm-hmm.
David, okay, that's what I thought. I was thinking I talked about David tonight, so I'm thinking, did she see David, or did I just think David? All right, awesome. All right, David. Yeah, thank you for David tonight. God, that, you know, there's so many people, David, that really, you know, have a hard time believing that, you know, they have been chosen. We always feel like we're not chosen. You know, something deep, deep, deep within us knows it, but the most parts of us go like, you know, this is one of the biggest things I thought in my life, David, was that, you know, how can God use me when I can't even talk to people? You know, because I felt like you called me to preach, I'm going like, I can't do that. You know, God, you caught the wrong person. Because ultimately, basically what happened was I just didn't feel like I had anything, you know, that would really be, you know, that I could really do well. And he wouldn't let me play football. That's the only thing I could do well was play ball. And then he asked me to give that up. I had to willingly give that up. And I was in college playing ball. And on the team and moving up fast and doing pretty good. And athletics is my thing. It's the only thing I had, right? It's the only thing I had, Dave. And it's like God, and I was walking, you know, I was on, got this practice and things going on, and I'm walking to my dorm, and the Lord said, I want you to give me football. And I'm thinking, you know, it was heartbreaking because I think, man, that's the only thing I can do. But you know what God did? He took away the only thing I could do so that I could learn how to do more things for him. And so sometimes, you know, it's like I was chosen. I thought I was chosen to be like a ball player. You know, and the reason was because I thought it was the only thing that I could do and do right and do good. I was really good at it, you know, as far as, you know, on the level of that. And so, you know, the reason God was doing it because he had chosen me. And I had a hard time grasping the fact that somebody like me, chosen to do something. I'm chosen to play ball because that's the only thing I can do right. Because you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to use you in ways that you don't even know. And so, Lord, I thank you for David. I thank you for working in David's life to be able to touch him, heal him, bless him, let him know that you that though sometimes we feel, you know, condemned or not chosen or feel less than, that God, you begin to show him that God loves taking people like us, man, like me, and using them for his glory. He loves taking, you know, people who have been, quote, dumb all their life, so to speak, and make them the smartest kid on the block. I mean, that's what God loves doing. And so, you know, so anyway, thank you, Lord, for David, blessing him, God, giving him courage, strength to know that that though he may not feel chosen, he may not feel like he's worthy of being, you know, special in some way, and show him that he is, God. Show him that he can tap into that. In Jesus' name, remove the fears and show him that he's dear to you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, for Angela, God, we thank you for Angela, God. We thank you, Lord, for your love, God, that she does everything out of love, that she starts seeing that, you know, love is the greatest. Faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest of all these. That, you know, it says if you don't prophesy in love, you know, something people have, you know, bring up about prophecy. It's amazing that God uses prophecy as, if you prophesy and you don't have love, what good is it? So they knock out, they take out every prophecy thing. Well, you know, if you're prophesying, you know, it's like, it's, look at that. It says, they forget about if you do love, if you prophesy and you love, and you walk in love and you have love, man, it's amazing. It's amazing. So God's showing you how to have all the things he's given you and have love in all that. And the purpose for all of it is about love. The purpose for all of it is about showing love, revealing love. Helping people love themselves, helping people know God and know God because God is love. And know that everything God does for us is love. But some people don't think everything God does is about love. Even when he chastises and spanks us, it's because he loves us. Even when you know, he does some things that look kind of rough, you know, God does nothing without doing it with his love. Even when he eventually casts people into hell, he's doing that because, you know, his love, you know, gave them every chance. He loved them and loved them and loved them, gave them every chance. And when they rejected him, it's like he had no choice, right? He had no choice. So, yeah, anyway, so I don't know. understand all that. But thank you, Jesus, for your love, God, that as she develops, as you develop things in her, God, that it's developed through the anointing or through the love of God, through the spirit of love, in Jesus' name. Amen. So that when it's finished, when it's done, people are going to somehow, some way, feel like there's love in that. People love love. Everybody's looking for love. So everything we did has some love in it. Everybody want it. Amen. All right. All right, 251-229, you want to talk to your friend, please? Mm-hmm. Hello? 251-229. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah tonight. Lord, for Sarah. Lord, we thank you for Sarah, God. I thank you, Lord, that if Sarah learns how to see God the way he really is instead of the way we want him to be, that she's going to enjoy that a whole lot more. A lot of people teach God things about God that are not godly, that are not biblical. They use scripture, but they don't use the whole counsel of God to show things. Therefore, we miss out on some things of God. And therefore, sometimes we don't have the fear of God because we don't get taught the fear of God. The Bible says, you know, I remember just years ago when I first started preaching, the Lord said, I want you to preach the fear of the Lord. I went, what? Is that in the Bible? I looked in the Bible, sure enough, there it was. It taught them the fear of the Lord. You know what the fear of the Lord does? You know what it does. It keeps us from going places, you know, getting ourselves in trouble. It's a protection thing. It's a love thing. It's a love thing. So I thank you, Lord, for giving Sarah, you know, the sound doctrines and the right things. God, in every area, like you're doing with me, you're changing a lot of things. You're showing me things that I've been taught that are not right. And I've taught people things that weren't right, too. So just like Kenneth Copeland does, I've done the same thing. And I want to change that. I want to rearrange that. I want to be a teacher who teaches the truth. And because the truth is full of love, even though it has judgment in it, even though it has the fear of God in it, it's all out of love. God does everything. God is love. Thank you, Lord, for her. Jesus, and thank you for opening her up to those things that will show her what you're really like, amen, from the Bible, what God really like, instead of what men, you know, a lot of men try to make God look like a good God, like he's a good man, instead of seeing God as, you know, God would never be a man, can never, in the sense, you know, because men are limited. Men are not sovereign, you know, and that kind of thing, and God is, and so he thinks different. He has a whole different way of thinking, the way he deals with things, and so we can't turn God into a good God in the image of a good man, because it doesn't fit. When we try to fit that in the Bible, we find out that it contradicts all kinds of scripture all the time. God would never do that. How could Abraham ever offer up his son? That's not God, you know, but that was part of what God did, and God did that. It wasn't the devil. God did it. And there's some people who don't understand that, make if they don't understand God, that's part of God's nature, what he does, you know. And he didn't ask man's permission. He just does stuff because he has a purpose in it. If we don't see those purposes, as we show her your purposes, God, like you're doing me more and more and more all the time, where I start seeing you though you really are, so the anointing of God can rest on me, and I don't come short of your glory or miss out on your blessings in any fashion or form. Because I've missed out on some things about what you're really like. All right, 769-220, I'm going to talk to you from, please. Oh, wait a minute. Thank you. Yeah, I've already prayed over you, Andrika.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, 769-220, is it Andrika?
It's Kristen Andrika in Georgia.
I prayed over you earlier. You guys thought I missed you, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, in the very beginning, I think you were like second or third in line, I think.
Oh,
something
was,
like that.
And I got disconnected, so I thought I got knocked out of line.
Yeah, hey, man. Yeah, no, we got you. We got you. It was a good word, too. I remember exactly what it was. But, yeah, anyway, we love you guys. Thank you very much.
Love you, too. Bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Love you guys. Appreciate you and Chris. Amen. Yeah, you got to hear that word, man. It was awesome. Yeah, that's good. Sorry you missed on that, but if I can remember it, I would tell it, but I would probably say it wrong. All right, 720-819, who am I talking to you from, please?
Jeff and Yuki, Las Vegas.
Oh, man, you're moving around too much, dude. Are you in the Twin Cities, Colorado, Las Vegas?
New York.
Something like that.
We're in New York, Las Vegas.
Okay, sorry. I couldn't tell if I had a bad connection there. Yeah, you guys are doing good. All right, Las Vegas, and last week it was Colorado, and before that it was Colorado, and before that I think it was Las Vegas. So we're going to start just naming you the all around people. They're all around, everywhere. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for those divine appointments, God, that you're activating divine appointments for the purpose of, you know, of because we're coming to appointed times. You know, we're coming to some appointed times. We come to an appointed time in life, in the Bible, and what am I saying, in the times that we're in. When you come to appointed times, those times are appointed. And when you come to appointed times, then everything comes to a point. Everything comes to a head. And when things come to a head, you know, it's like no other time in the world. Things come to a head. Because when things come to a head, that means they're going to change drastically. Big changes, big moves, big things. And so God positions us, you know, and positions us and teaches us, and we learn and we make mistakes and we fail and we do good and we mess and get activated and go at it. And, you know, we learn how to walk in the water and we sink a little bit and we do it, get up again. And then, you know, like Peter, you know, made all mistakes. And then Jesus said, you know, now feed my sheep. now feed my sheep. You know, and it's like, you know, so there came an appointed time. There was time for him to learn, time to grow, time to fail, time to make mistakes. And, you know, see how to, you know, see what he had to learn, what Jesus was really like instead of what he thought he was like. He had to learn what Jesus was really like. And it wasn't at all what he thought. Like, he knew he was going to be the Messiah and he was going to, you know, dwell with him forever, never go anywhere. He was wrong about a lot of things. And God had to change him and show him. And there came at a point of time, there came a peak to that where Christ died. And that was a peak time. What we called it earlier. Things were coming to a head. That particular thing came to a head. And then, you know, and then everything shifted and went from Jesus doing all the miracles to now the disciples doing all the miracles. So we'll come into a point of change where things are coming to a head. When they do, you know, all the preparation, all the things we've learned, all the things we've been trained in, even with mistakes. I mean, look at all the mistakes they made. Peter made a lot of them. He used them as an example because, you know, he just made a lot of mistakes. And yet it was all about learning and growing and becoming humble and learn to yield and learning that, you know, if God doesn't do it, man, it ain't going to get done. But when God does it, it's amazing. And so so all of a sudden, you know, it went from Jesus being the guy who's getting all the attention for all the miracles to Peter and to the crew, and because of all the things he learned. And so thank you, Lord, for all the things that Jeff has been learning and growing in, God, that's all for a purpose. It all is heading toward when things come to a peak, come to a head, and shift over so that we can be prepared to be used. When Jesus finally, you know, with his latest worst failure mistake, you know, was when he denied Jesus, you know, and then you think, well, surely the Lord can't use him now, you know, because I already messed that up bad. That was a bad mess up, you know, and yet Jesus said, hey, you're ready now. Peter's going, I'm ready? After all this, I'm ready? Yeah. I know you didn't know it, but I called you. I chose you. When I called and choose people, even the things that go, all the stuff, it's all for training. And when that thing comes to a head, then he was ready to be positioned for the next thing. So I thank you, Lord, for all the things you're doing, Jeff, and you, to position him for the next thing. It's all about learning. We got to see why we're going, what we're going through. You know, we don't always know why while we're going through things and what's going on and why things this isn't working, that's working, and that's not working, and all of this. What's going on with this? It's training. They did nothing but fail. Jesus gave them authority to cast out devils, and the father of one of them came back and said, "Man, you know, your disciples ain't got nothing going on. They're a bunch of deadbeats." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Man, what's going on with you guys?" He didn't say it. They were a bunch of failures, literally. But, you know, it was all learning, growing. They had to see what they couldn't do and their needs and their weaknesses. And when it all prepped them and got them ready, and then the day of Pentecost came, wow, they were nice and ready and ripe. They'd been cooked until they were well done. And then God says, now you're ready. So thank you, Lord, for that hope, for that thing, for that glory of knowing that what we go through isn't to disqualify us, it's to qualify us. We're being qualified. And so a lot of things that we go through, you know, are mistakes and failures, but we're being qualified. So thank you, Jesus. When Peter stood there after he denied the Lord and said, "Feed my sheep, man." I mean, that had to blow his mind. Feed my sheep? After all I've done and didn't do, and feed my sheep, my God. Jesus, you are nuts. You're either crazy or you know something I don't know. And the latter was right. Jesus knew things about Jeff that Jeff didn't even know. So I thank you, Lord, for that, for Jeff and for you. God knows things about you that you doesn't even know. And thank you, Lord, for that you know us better than we know ourselves. So we don't measure our success in that we made mistakes and had, you know, some success with some things, but you know, when we read the Bible the way the Bible really is, we see all this stuff and go, "My God." And then all of a sudden, they were like the glory boys. They went from the failure boys and girls to the glory boys and girls. Like, what happened with that? Because it was all coming to a head. And when it came to a head, then they were just put into position. Like the children of Israel, all of a sudden the 20-year-olds were the ones crossing over. Not the other ones, the 20-year-olds. Why? Because the other ones, you know, they died. Anyway, so thank you, Lord, for that thing with Jeff and you, God, and you're showing them how to look at things, how to look at what they're going through. Amen? And amen. All right. Bless you. All right. 303-386. Can I talk to your friend, please? Oh, they have their hand up. Amen. Sorry. I don't know. I know that was. I'm not sure. All right. Some of you guys don't have your hand up. Several people don't have your hand up. It's only 11 o'clock. I went through that pretty fast, didn't I? Wow. If you don't have your hand up, I'm not going to call you. So please get your hand up there. I know some people like to be incognito. Probably eating a burrito. Okay. 251-229.
Hi, Prophet Rick. Prophet Randy, how are you?
Good. Hey, I prayed over you early. I already prayed over you. I know you didn't answer your phone, so I figured you were busy doing something. So I prayed over you already, and it was about 30 minutes ago, maybe 15 minutes ago. Look at on the archives for about 10:45, something like that, somewhere around 10:45 Texas time. All right, I did pray for you already. All right, so we got you, girl. We got you covered. All right, 863-808. Do you want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy, Cheryl from Florida.
Hey, Cheryl. All right, thank you, Lord, for Cheryl, and thank you, God, for getting a sober mind. Look at our children. We get a sober-minded look at things. A sober-minded look at things is, you know, we can't always see. We know what we dream for ourselves and for our children and for other people, what our dreams for them are. You know, just, you know, God use them, basically. God bless them. And so, you know, I see God giving you very practical images, understanding that a lot of things that they're going through may look contrary to what they're supposed to be doing. But it's getting them to that place. It's getting them to that place because of your prayers, because you're seeking God for them, because you're praying on their behalf. you know, like Jesus said, what's Jesus doing? He's interceding, right, at the right hand of the Father for his disciples. I would think Jesus' prayers are going to be answered, right? Yeah, I would think. You know, I mean, I know some people are going to go to hell anyway, but you know, you've been praying for your kids, praying for your life, praying for your, you know, and sometimes, you know, the practical view is that God is doing something. Is that it doesn't look like much is going on sometimes. It just doesn't look like it. And yet, like with Joseph, well, Joseph is in the greatest position of being close to ruling Egypt. It was just, you know, another day in jail. It just didn't look like, you know, this just didn't look like, I know daddy prayed for me, and God gave me a vision, and I got, if mama could see me down, she'd probably looking in heaven, look down and going like, my boy's in jail. You know, what's that? That ain't what's going on. That's not what's supposed to be happening. You're supposed to be being used mightily. What's going on? So sometimes the practical view of what we can't see is literally, if we look at the Bible, we see that some of the stuff they're going through, it's setting them up for right where they're supposed to be, or right where they're supposed to be learning. You know, the things that they're not supposed to do. Sometimes we do things, you know, I did things that when I did them as a kid, I thought, man, this isn't as good as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be really awesome. It was like, it stunk. I'm going like, I've been waiting, man. You know, oh my God, you know. So learning for myself, you know, and my mom and dad, they get me like, boy, that heathen, that boy. You know, he's on drugs. He didn't fulfill his football career like we all thought. His baseball career, he's going to be a professional baseball player and football player and all that kind of thing. He didn't leave me like a failure. I look like a failure to them, you know, in some ways. They still love me, but I think they did. No, they didn't. but they didn't know that I was being positioned to be where God wanted me. Now my dad, mom and dad are in heaven. They probably know that. But on the earth, they didn't have a practical, they didn't have an understanding. I'm doing what God wants me to do. And I'm blessed. I mean, whether they know it or not, may not be, because sometimes what we see as being blessed for our children and for ourselves is like, we wouldn't be in this place if we were doing the will of God. Oh, really? What about Jesus? What about Peter? And what about Joseph? What about all these people? What about David? You know, so sometimes the practical view that we have to look at and keep us from getting discouraged about where we're at, is that sometimes, you know, because Joseph was in that prison, couldn't get out, couldn't go anywhere, you're stuck there. That was the very thing that was preparing for right when he was fixing to be raised up. It just didn't make any sense. Like, you know, don't forget me, he says. So the guy who interpreted his dream, don't forget me now. 2 years later, like, finally. Yeah, so, you know, our spiritual view is, you know, God's going to use me, use me, buddy, I'm going to be Joseph says, God's going to use me, and I'm going to be, my brother's going to be bowing down because I'm going to be the most prosperous person of all. They're going to be honoring me because I'm the blessed one of the family. And, you know, and then everything happened just the opposite, but yet at the same time, the practical view was, and was that it actually was happening. God was actually positioning it, but it just didn't look like it. And so I thank you, Lord, for giving Cheryl insight, God, and being able to see things from that place. You know, of that very practical look at how what we look like when we look like we're failing, we look like we're not going anywhere, but yet, you know, when Joseph was in prison, he was right there. He got put in that particular prison, which is was a political prison, was a, you know, and you know, so why? Because God positioned him to be right there in that place where he couldn't get out of it. He couldn't do anything. He stuck there. And then all of a sudden, but one day it happened. It all happened. Amazing. All right, so we got to look at things through the practical view of what God is saying, what God is doing, and believe him for that. Yeah, I know that's been one of my biggest things. Because we hear these prophecies, God's going, you know, just like when God told Joseph, God, I'm going to use you, son. They're all going to be bowing down to you, boy, even your mama and whoever else. Son, they're going to be bowing down. You're going to be awesome. That just isn't happening. It just isn't happening. But it was happening. It was the practical side of God dealing with his servants to prepare them. Practical. How does God do things? How does he get us ready? We go to school. We get have to deal with all these people. Or we go to prison and deal with all these things. We look like a failure. Everybody thinks we're a failure. All that stuff is doing a work in us. if we yield to God, it. And that's the practical way God does it. It's the real way God does it. He chooses different things for different people because everybody has a little bit different pride, a little bit different, you know. I've had pride in my life, you know, and God had to do things with me to break my pride. And still does it at times. All right, I get abundance of revelation, and sometimes all hell hits me. Literally. Amazing. I talked about that tonight. All right, everybody, if you don't, nobody else calls in, I'm going to call tonight. Only 11:11. I'm getting to where I guess I go through work pretty fast. I really don't know. I don't know how many people we have. We had 20-something when I first came on. I know more people called in, so I'm at the least office right over. I don't know. Anyway, not that it matters, but maybe I'm just getting... You're just getting better. I don't know. Oh, that's, yes. I also want to request a prayer for a friend in Thailand, too. Her name is Saw. Yeah, Saw in Thailand. Okay. Absolutely. Maybe that's what you were trying to tell me, and I didn't hear you. I don't know. Anyway, absolutely. Thank you, Lord, for Saw. God, we thank you, Lord, for... I hope I'm saying her name right. Anyway, something like that. Saw. All right. So thank you, Lord, for Saw tonight. We thank you, Jesus, and there in Thailand. We thank you, God, that that all the oppression, all the things that think that go on in nations, everybody, every nation has a little bit different kind of oppression in it. That oppresses them, and God, I thank you for the oppression in Thailand, in whatever way that is, that all the things that appear good and right, that you will open up Saul's eyes, where Saul can see, you know, what the truth is, what real good is, and what real evil is, and what real phony good is, what the difference between phony good and the real good. The difference between the righteous good and the unrighteous good. Some things appear righteous, some things appear right, and they're all wrong. And we don't know it until God shows us. So, Lord, I thank you for opening up Saul's eyes so Saul can see that what's really real, what's really from God, what's really not. Everybody says something from God that means it's from God, the real God. So show Saul how to, believe the right things, so that you can take Saul to the highest level of God's will to set them free, set Saul free of any dilemmas, any things that are hindering Saul, that Saul can grow through the troubles and grow through the things, that you just don't take us out of things. God, sometimes we grow, when we graduate and grow through it, then we might can leave. When we graduate and we go through things, instead of, you know, God, take me out, take me through a thing, when you finally take Saul through that thing, then they can graduate. Then Saul can graduate and move on to a different thing. So it's all about learning how to graduate, learning how to pass the test, learning how to know, this is messed up and that's messed up, and I need to know the truth about it. When you finally get the truth about it, then you get the truth, and that's the whole purpose of the struggle, was to get the truth. And then you graduate, and you're able to move on to something else, move on to a different place. Move into a different, place of being blessed, because the only true blessing comes from God. There's a lot of money out there. People make a lot of money, but not everybody makes money is blessed. But to be blessed is the thing you want. And so, Lord, I thank you for teaching Saul how to be blessed the right way, for the truth. The truth shall set you free in Jesus' name, and set Saul free in Saul's body. And mind and soul in Jesus' name, and loosen Saul into the truth that will set Saul free in Jesus' name. Okay, Greg. Second. I don't see you. Oh, there you are. Oh, my gosh. Dude, I think I missed you. I passed you over.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, that might be a good sign, the Passover. There you go. The great Passover.
All right.
All right, man, I did. I missed you. I didn't know. I don't know how I did that, but.
I called in late. I was in a shower. So.
Oh, that's okay. You can call anytime you want. You know, we're here for like, you know, 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours. So anytime between there is fine. All right, my brother, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Greg tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for taking a shower and, being refreshed. God, the refreshing, you know, sometimes just being clean, you know, thinking about that, sometimes being clean is, you know, the world, when we're in the world, we get dirty every day. I mean, not just physically dirty, we get spiritually. People say things, do things. I have people, you know, I had a guy got mad at me today because I pulled up a little bit too far in my truck and he couldn't pull in into Walmart. I was at Walmart and I mean, he just got, he took off and he shook his hand at me, you know, that kind of thing. You know, and I just kind of like, what, you know, sometimes that stuff sticks with me, sometimes it doesn't. You know, I tried to wave at him like, hey, man, it was my fault. You know, I'm sorry. I tried to wave at him like, but he was so mad. He's like, you know, that stuff gets on us, man. It's the world. It's life, you know, and it was even my fault. So, I had to deal with that emotionally. Like, you know, God, man, I'm sorry. I tried to say I'm sorry. My wave is, I'm sorry. I messed you up, dude. But he didn't get it. You know, he was ticked off. And so that stuck in my head. And so sometimes we need to be cleansed that and refreshed from just that. And so God teaching you how to refresh yourself and clean things from your mind that just happened during the day that may be your fault, may not be your fault. It may just be something that goes on. Somebody says something, does something. You see something that you, man, sometimes you're driving along, you see things, you know, you're not looking for something. You know, but you see it, you go, oh, my God, that was like, ooh. And you have to get cleansed of it. And so being cleansed and staying refreshed on a daily basis is really big with God. Because when we do that, you know, it's hard to go press somebody who's, you know, who feels refreshed and cleansed on a regular basis. You know, when I feel clean and fresh, not much messes with me. You know, I think things are wrong because I feel clean and fresh. Clean and fresh means no condemnation. Clean and fresh means whatever, you know, like I felt bad because it was my fault today about that guy. I didn't hit him or even come close to hitting him, but he just got mad because he couldn't turn in. He had to drive down there and turn around. Like, and then that's like he vomited up on me, so to speak. Man, you know, to get cleansed of that was like, wow. And so learn how to stay cleansed from not some horrible thing we did wrong, but just life, everyday life. You know, somebody thinking you're somebody that you're not and chewing you up for, oh, I thought you were, no. And you have to hear things. And so staying cleansed, staying right in that Passover thing, like I passed you over tonight when I saw you. And first thing I thought about was, yeah, I passed you over. And then I realized I just said something prophetic, you know, the Passover. And so, you know, literally, what does it have to do with cleansing, washing, staying cleansed, staying washed? And like I said, I'm not talking about, you know, some horrible thing we do wrong, you know, we might have some of those sometimes, but I'm talking about life, like everyday stuff, plus our own mistakes, plus our failures, plus our, and that condemnation thing makes us feel unclean and unworthy. And like, you know, if we go to bed with that stuff sometimes, which I've done before, sometimes you wake up the next morning like feeling like something's wrong, but you don't know what it is, like, you know, or you maybe wake up in the middle of the night going like feeling guilty about something. Like, what am I feeling guilty about? I haven't done anything wrong. Oh, yeah, you almost ran over that guy today. It's like if I don't deal with that before I go to bed, you know, sometimes I'll just wake up in the middle of the night feeling guilty and thinking, what am I feeling guilty for? And then I'll think, oh, yeah, Jesus, forgive me, cleanse me of that, wash me, refresh me. And when I'm cleansed and refreshed, bro, things go better. I go through life better when I stay clean and fresh. So, amen. God, show my brother how to live in the Passover realm where we use the blood to get things to, you know, pass over us or pass over them, crossing over, and by being cleansed and washed in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, I got to work my invention today. I got an invention that has nothing to do with, you know, the brain, any of that kind of thing. It's a whole different thing. And today, I put my big invention to the test, and it worked. I mean, I've got it perfected to where it, like, worked quick, like, boom, done. I mean, literally like that, just like a little bit, teeny little bit more perfect than what it did. But today I tested it, and oh, my gosh, boom, done. It's just about like that. And really, really cool. I love inventing things. I love the fact that God helps us. It just opens your mind to something. You sometimes we don't think about how we can perfect something or do something or look at something. Man, they get that fixed where you can never, you know, change it, make that better. And then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost goes, oh, right, watch this. And then it happens. I love it. It's absolutely amazing. Living with God, you can learn to relax and not live in condemnation. And you're going to find yourself thinking all kinds of amazing things, all kinds of things. Write them down. Respect, show God honor and respect by writing those things down when you get them. And, you know, they may not be perfect when you first get them, but just write them down the best you can. When you honor God and what he shows you, then he gives you more. If you don't honor it, you don't respect it and write it down and memorialize it, so to speak, coming from him, he's just going to go, yeah, he didn't really respect my stuff much, didn't really seem to enjoy it that much, so I guess I'm just going to move on to somebody else. You know, yeah. So when God gives you something, write it down. And, you know, put it into action. Put it to work. Face that. God can speak to us about little bitty things or big things. If we don't put it into action, he's going like, well, I guess he's not going to do that. I'm not going to work it, so I guess I'll just give it to somebody else. And that's literally what God does. So we need to start, you know, he's always working on us. He never gives up on us. But, you know, sometimes God wants to give us really great ideas, but we need to put them into action. Yep. All right. Really good tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to mute for a minute, and if anybody else calls in, I'll take them. Only 11:24. All right, everybody, I think that's it for tonight. It's about 11:41, and I think we've prayed over everybody that has their hand up. So that will be it for tonight. I guess we'll call it a night. Hey, thanks for getting PGN, and looking forward to tomorrow. We're going to be doing that Below the Doorpost again on video. So see how that goes. All right, wonderful. See you tomorrow.